you go through sort of the scenario of what I would do to do that. If I wanted to do both, say I was walking somewhere and I wanted to be able to play that route back later, I also wanted to create that as a route that I would use. What would I do to do both of those things?
Yes, you would go out, acquire your acquisition, your fix, and then you would start the replay. So on a BT, it would be space with Q, and on a QT, it would be read with Q. You're prompted for the file name, or the folder, the drive, the folder name, and the file name, standard Keysoft behavior. And then once that is started, it'll say recording data to GPS, or it'll say recording GPS data to replay, or something like that. And then what you'll do is, if you want to create a manual route, you do an R and then an O for root commands, and then O for open, and you would give it the, you're prompted again for the drive, the folder, and the file name, and then you would start dropping your waypoints. If you wanted to create a, automatically create a route via your route vehicle or pedestrian, you would set what you want as your destination via point of interest lookup or address lookup or lat-lon lookup, set that as your destination, and then you would do an R for route and then a P for pedestrian or a V for vehicle, and that would automatically create a route for you. So there's a difference between a manually created route, which is one that you walk yourself and drop waypoints, and the route two different types of routes that the system can create automatically for you.
Understand that. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I have a question, Chris. And how are you doing? I can't recall if I've done this yet or not. I kind of hit a blank on this one. Maybe I've done it or I didn't. I'll explain what I'm talking about. I want to create a route, and I want to type, say, an address from one location. I'm not talking about using point of interest at all. Address to one location, type in that address, and then type, you know, go leaving from and going to, and type in another location, and then create a route that way too. What is that possible? Is that so? What command I execute to perform that task?
You do an address lookup for the first address, and you set the first address as your virtual position, and then you go into virtual mode. And then you do another address lookup and set the second address as your destination. So now you have your starting point is your virtual position, your ending point is the destination. And then you do R for route commands, and then V, either V for vehicle or P for pedestrian.
Oh, okay. Okay, then I'll be able to say, I've done that before. Brain went dead on that one, I mean. Thank you.
You're welcome. It happens.
One more thing. On the patch, for the update on the patch, and I haven't done it yet, and I haven't had time. I've been very busy in other projects lately. Pull out all my cards, pull out everything from the Empower, pull everything out from it. Do I do a SDF and hold it down and do a soft reset, or don't do that and just put the get some gyps a patch and then put it in the go to the application and go from there?
You do it the same way you install the GPS upgrade. You do a 1-2-3 reset or an SDF reset, which leads me actually into the topic for today, or side topic or whatever, which means the different types of resets. Now, there are actually four different types of resets. The first reset is a standard reset, which is just a plain reset button. And on the PK, you hold, you press and hold C3 and C4, which are the two little buttons on the right side of the Braille display or the space bars. The second reset is a 1, 2, 3 or SDF on a BT or a QT reset. And what that does is it stops any add-ons from loading, such as the GPS, the dictionary. You know, if you have the dictionary installed, the 1, 2, 3 reset or SDF reset, BT or QT, stops those add-ons from loading. If you try to install an add-on without doing the 1, 2, 3 reset that's been previously installed, you will get file in use messages. So you'll have to do the 1, 2, 3 SDF reset. On the PK, again, that's 1, 2, 3. That's 1, 2, 3 with C3, C4 is how you do the reset on the PK. The third reset is a 4, 5, 6 reset or a JKL reset. And what that does is it basically clears your registry back to the system defaults, and you don't lose any files. None of these resets will you lose files. The only time you will lose a file is if you're in a document and you didn't save it and you do one of the resets. You'll lose what you didn't save. That's kind of standard computer, you know, practice. But back to the 4, 5, 6 or JKL reset. That means you will lose your pairing and your activation, so you'd have to search for devices again. And on a PK, it's 4, 5, 6 with C3, C4. And the final reset is a service reset, which is you hold the record button in and hit the reset button at the same time, and that's kind of not recommended unless you're talking to a HumanWare technical support person to do that service reset. On the PK, you do a service reset with C1 and C4. You press and hold C1, C4, and it kind of shuts and powers down the PK.
The JKL is, yeah, I did the record with a soft reset. JKL is something you don't want to do unless you're with a server tech.
No, that's the service reset, which is the service reset, the record button, and the reset button. That's the service reset. The JKL reset is pretty safe.
Carol from the UK, can you hear me?
Yes, you're coming in just fine.
I can't usually manage it at this hour, but I'm keeping my eyes open for a while anyway.
Good to have you here. It's what, 2 in the morning over there for you?
It's just after midnight. It's about 10 past 12.
So, do we have any questions on the different types of resets? Most of the resets you will do, you'll need to reactivate your Bluetooth receiver. So, you would, after doing a plain reset, you would go to options, connectivity, Bluetooth, turn it on, don't search for devices, and you'll find your list of Bluetooth devices. Go down to your receiver, hit enter, and it will say remove pairing or activate active sync. You want to hit A to activate active sync, and you should be good to go with the receiver.
Can I bring up something else after you're done on this, Chris?
Nobody has any questions about the different resets? Then yes, go ahead.
Before you do that, perhaps just one little question about the resets. Just when you've finished installing a program and then you do a reset once you've installed, what's the purpose of that one?
Because when you do your 1, 2, 3 reset to actually install the program, when you install it, it's not loaded. So when you reset, you're basically loading that new add-on in. It gets installed, but it's not running. And the purpose of the reset after is to kind of reboot the computer. You know, when you install an application on your computer and it says restart now, and you hit yes and it restarts. It's basically the same thing.
So I sort of got there as you were talking. I thought, oh, yeah, I know what it is. Yeah. Fine, thanks.
Right. I gave you two scenarios I come across. I went to somebody's house, and where once I'll just give a name of a street. I don't know if I'm going to be fancy or anything. I go down, you know, I like it because I'd be like on Tezo Street, and Tezo running the Culebra, and, you know, it let you know all that, and, you know, what city you're in and all that, too. Works great, I love it. Then I get to Westover Hill, I turn right, I set it for 9 o'clock, 6 o'clock, clock position. By all, that worked better for me. I go up, and I have to make a left on this, see, a street. Like I can't pronounce it, so I'll just call it a public street. But when I go up a while away up this hill, my wife be driving in that street. She said you can't see that street from when you're on going up one way. She said you can't see that street unless you come back the other way. So it's only a side street there, and it didn't have no left and right turn, you know, like the street didn't have a, you know, go keep continue. But it was weird, because I figured this out after I got home, because I couldn't understand it. But when we came back the other way, then it read the street, but it wouldn't read the street when I'm on the left side of the street, we're going up the street. But when we came back, it pointed out that street, and it said turn 3 o'clock, and we did, and it did what this should be doing after that. But but that was a major confusion on our part. But I was home, and I did the virtual tour, and the way the unit did read it to me was correct. We could have read the same way when I did the virtual tour at home. And it said, when I'm going up the street, and then it said turn left on Whiteman Street, 9 o'clock, and then it said turn left on Whiteman Street, 9 o'clock. And I'm confused. But then I realized when I was at home, that actually it was telling me to take a U-turn, to make a U-turn. And then I continued my waypoint, and it went back towards that street, and then it said public road, and it said turn 3 o'clock going, let's say, north. And that was real. That was one scenario there, Chris. That was, then the other one is, I think there's a blip on the map, too, and I was going down.
Charles has entered the room.
I was going down Bandera Road, and then it was a street called Bristol on the right, but then I had to go to Gilbert Street on the left. But it gave the name of Gilbert and Bristol on left and right. So unless, again, I come back again, then I'll read Gilbert on the right. So there's some issue going on about that.
It sounds to me, and it's a good thing Charles just popped in at this time, because it sounds to me like you found a street that has a medium in the middle of the street, and that's why when you were on the one side of the street, it wasn't giving you that street that was on your left-hand side, because it didn't see it, because it was traveling down the, say, right-hand side of the split.
I'll be right back. I'm going to ask my wife that.
On something that Jim asked a little while back about when he was setting his addresses, and you instructed him, as I'd expected you to set his first of all to do his address lookup and set the address, set his virtual position. But why did you suggest he should go into virtual mode partway through that once he'd looked up his first address?
You can go into virtual mode before or after you set your virtual position, but he's going to need to go, you're going to need to go into virtual mode in order to create that route, because if you're not, then it's going to create it from your GPS location. That's why he needed to switch into virtual mode. So you can switch in before or after you do the address lookup. It doesn't matter, as long as you're in virtual when you create that route.
I always make sure that I am in virtue when I create that route, but I hadn't quite understood the logics as to why, and now I do. Thank you.
Yes, Chris, there was an island in the middle. There was grass. And even though we were on that side of the street, and, okay, then, so, tricky, but the map was correct. Okay, yeah, in both cases there were.
Yeah, we made that change before it would try to find the streets intersecting the street that you're on either side of the median, but that was really causing a lot of problems, especially when you're talking about a roundabout, and in order to make roundabouts work correctly, we had to change the behavior slightly so you only see the streets on the side. If the streets split, you only find the streets that are on your side of the street, not the other side. Until you go on the other side of the street, then you'll find those streets.
Yeah, Charles, I was telling Chris a few minutes ago, yeah, it was strange because then it said turn left on, turn 3 o'clock, and then, turn 9 o'clock, and then, north, whatever, then it on Whiteman, and I said, Whiteman? And all of a sudden, and then it say, like, move up from the next waypoint, then...
Jenny has entered the room.
Then again, it said 90 degrees, 9 o'clock again, Whiteman. I go, huh? So that's what it did.
Carla has entered the room.
So it told me to make a U-turn there, and then it went back down that road, and it found the street that I wanted, and it told me to turn 3 o'clock. one other issue, that I couldn't find the guy's street, and I said, oh, no, his house is 3 years old, and I type in his street name, but at the end, his street name with court, at the last, like drive, I put a C-O-U-R-T, and it wouldn't recognize it. Then when I was at his house, I put C-T, then it recognized court. So it doesn't work. It only worked one way. You got to abbreviate it in order to map to read it.
Also, one thing that you can do if you think you're on a street with a medium and you know that there's houses on both sides of the street, so address, an address range, if you do a detailed city lookup, it will tell you basically address range on right, whatever the address range is, and address range on left would be unknown or vice versa.
Thank you. And then, I've been reading the manual pretty good, and it tells you a lot of those stuff in it. It's hard to remember everything on this, but like anything, practice make perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, and in the future, we hope to have more information when you do a detailed city lookup. We'll tell you that the street is split, or that it's a junction connector street, or there's a whole bunch of different things that is in the data that we currently are not speaking yet. It's also, always room for improvement, and it's just one of those things that haven't made it to the top of the priority list yet.
So the side that it will detail the addresses for will be the side, presumably, that you're on at that present time, and the unknown will be the side that you're not supposed to be looking at that time. Is that right?
That is correct, yes. So what you would need to do, if you're virtually walking around, what you would do is you'd go to one intersection, you'd make a left, it would go like maybe 20 or 40 feet or, and then you'd hit the same street again, the other side of the split, and then you'd come up that street, and then you get the opposite address ranges.
To be able to choose an alternative route, either vehicle route or pedestrian, when you're actually asking for a route, at the moment you only get one choice, don't you, until you actually go off the route and it recalculates. But is there ever going to be a time, do you think, when we could have a choice of routes to take?
Absolutely. We're hoping that in the future we'll be able to give you some choices as far as shortest distance versus fastest, maybe fewest turns as a possibility of a choice of route. These are all things that we're planning on doing in the future. As far as just multiple different kinds of routes, I'm not sure if that's in the in our map engine for routes yet, but definitely something that I can ask about in the future, and also see about putting up zones of places you do not want to create a route through. So a specific area of town. So that would be something that we'd like to be able to do in the future too. But all good suggestions and definitely things that we're looking at in the as we move forward.
I was just examining a route which took me to my husband's work the other day, and I was aware that my friends were taking a different route, but I couldn't be offered that route as an alternative unless I wanted to calculate, unless I wanted to work it out manually, so far as I could see. And I thought it would be really helpful if at least I could have looked at the same route that they wanted to do.
Right, and actually, in the future, you might be able to do something like that. If you want to get to a specific place in, like, let's say you want to take one specific street, you might be able to say, "Well, I want to go to here first, and then continue on," and that might be possible in the future as well. So that would help in that situation where they're saying, "Well, I'm taking, Highway 57, and our system, is taking 23 or something like that." Then you would pick a point along 57 and say, "Well, go there first, and then go on to my final destination," and it'll sort of force the system to go on that other street.
Chris, we'll be able to, if you were in a vehicle and you wanted to know where the driver taking you, to record that route. So when you get to the end and you decided, well, where did I go? Could you record that?
Yes, that's the GPS replay. It doesn't matter if you're walking, driving, or even flying. You can record your replay.
So you would hit replay as you're doing the route, or when?
Whenever you want to start recording the replay, you would start the replay. So if you wanted to start it at the very, very beginning, you would start the replay. If you decided, okay, well, I want to know from this point forward, then I would start the replay.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with routes, and a lot of people are trying that are getting confused with, well, a route has to be associated with a replay, and that's not the case. You can create a replay, and let's say it's an open park, and you're just traveling around in circles, okay? You start the replay up, and you start going around in your circle, going around in the circle, going around in the circle, and then you stop the replay. And then 5 days later, you load that replay up, and you're listening to it, and you're make yourself dizzy listening to yourself go around in circles, So that's all it's doing. It's just recording whatever the GPS sees at that specific point in time. It has nothing to do with a route, although you could be following a route. That's not to say that, and that's where the power comes in, where you can, load a replay up and then create a new route someplace. But once the replay, it's going to follow the same way you went, and if you're not following this new route that you're created, it's going to say off route, and it'll try to create a new route, even though the replay is going to go wherever it's going to go.
No, what I, yeah, exactly. What I was saying is, I would pick up by a paratransit vehicle, and they took me way, way, way out of the territory, out of the way, and instead of going to my straight destination, and I wanted to record that route where they took me. I could have hit replay, and that would have recorded that route that they're taking me on.
Right, and then you could have played it back and figured out exactly where you went, and analyzed it later and say, "Oh, why did they were supposed to turn here and they didn't. Oh, that's what they did wrong," and then you can sort of figure out what they did.
And I'll give you an example. Of course, LA area, driving on the freeway, normally at that time, it would have taken me 2.5 hours to get to the train station from Culver City. The driver took a route off the freeway, didn't even get on the freeway, went through Hollywood area and mostly all side street and some freeway, and we got there in 45 minutes during a Friday 3 o'clock rush hour. So I go, 45 minutes when it normally take 2 hours and 30 minutes? I want to record that route.
Absolutely. That's a great idea, Jim. I like that. Definitely. That's exactly what this is for. So, you know, keep that in mind, everyone. That's a great tip, actually. I really like that one. And I had something else to say. I can't think of it right off the top of my head, but good one, Jim.
I want to... I would have knew what I mean, because usually when I take the ferry transit when I would live in L.A., they'll take me, I live in Granada Hill, and they take me on the other end of the valley to North Hollywood. Then I'll shoot all the way back up to Granada Hill, somewhere out, and then I'll shoot over to Van Nuys. Then they got me shooting up some other place, and then that's before I even got on the freeway to go over the hill toward West Los Angeles. By then it's too late. I said, you know what? I already been in here 2 hours. Can you take me home? Because by the time I get there, I had to come back anyway. So I never made it there. They do that all the time in Los Angeles.
I just thought of another route thing for you, Carol. In the future, we'd also like to be able to have a vehicle route that avoids freeways. So that would be something that, you know, so you have some people that don't really like to travel on freeways, or you know that the freeway is backed up, and this would prefer local streets. And so that's definitely something that we're looking at in the future, too.
Are you making reference to a blind driver don't want to get on the freeway and take alternate route?
No. Actually, no, I was referring to my mother-in-law, who doesn't like to drive on freeways, and she'd rather take all the back roads.
this replay facility... Once you start to replay, presumably because you started at a point and ended at a point, that those two points are set then for you, are they? I mean, can you then set a start point and end point and actually save a route in the normal way just by using the replay facility?
No, not yet, although that was a feature that we were thinking about doing. But we haven't yet implemented that. So basically take a replay and create a route from that that you could then load and follow. We're hoping that that would be something that we'll be able to add in the future.
Great to see that, because sometimes, especially if your understanding is a bit limited of some junctions or whatever, you can't quite follow a route, but you know where they took you and where they ended up. You don't always quite know how they got there. And really, you'd just like to use that route again and do it all over again with another driver at some point.
Well, actually, with our system the way that it is right now, you could sort of do that, because you could, you know, be on the replay, although the only thing is you wouldn't be able to give a heads up. It is real time, so as long as you're not... as you're not exactly at the same point in time. So if it makes a turn, you can give your driver a heads-up notice that, oh, the system has now just made a right turn, and you'd sort of have stuff like repeat your address or the next intersection triggering multiply. And then once you figure out, oh, I'm on a new street, you could tell your driver, okay, this is the way we're going to be turning right up here on Jane Street, and then he'll make the right, and he'll be behind you following this replay. So that theoretically could work.
I understand that. Now I can understand what you're suggesting to do. I just really like to be able to do it a little more succinctly by being able to create a starting address and ending point from that replay at some point. But anyway, that's great.
What you could do actually is, you want a starting address and an ending address. What I do is name the replay to where my destination is going to be. So when it asks me for a file name, I put starting point to ending point, so that when I open the replay, I can quickly set the ending point as my destination, and then just create a route that way.
That's what I do. But what I'm saying is I can't guarantee that that will be the route that we used for any particular reason. It'll be the route that the GPS offers me, which is fine.
Right, and like Charles said, we really would like to in the future have it say, okay, let's make a route out of this replay, and that would be ideal.
A few questions which relate to a bit to my home area. I don't think it'll bore people too much. May I take them quickly?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I sometimes work with a long cane, and sometimes for some routes with a dog. Not very high speeds because of a back problem. So one of my limitations is speed. And it's a bit of a dead end place, and it means that every time we need to get out of it, we need to take a left from our gate, which then within 10-15 yards ends up at the first crossing point. So obviously by that stage my GPS hasn't worked out where I'm going, and doesn't indicate that crossing point. And then, having crossed over that side road, I then continue something like 3 or 4 yards, and then have to cross over to the other side of the street using what we call a pelican crossing, to then go back on myself past my house again, but on the other side of the road. And this all makes for a very messy beginning of my routes if I create a route from my home. In fact, I've started almost sort of doing the route from the crossing and knowing that I know how to get to the crossing in the first place, because I can't see a way of getting a tidy beginning of the route so that the GPS really knows which way I'm going.
Now, is this specifically with the GPS not tracking you at the beginning, or is this just because you have to, because of your situation, make this left, cross the pelican, make a right, backtrack on yourself, and that's the issue, and really you need to start creating routes from that position? But you can't do it from your home, because your home, it would make a right away instead of making the left, cross, and then make the right. Is that the issue, or is it more of the GPS not tracking you right away?
The issue is the first one. I mean, it's partly that the GPS doesn't track me straight away, but I can understand the logic in that I'm not walking far enough before I reach the first crossing point for the GPS to be quite sure about which way I'm going. And anyway, if I've created a route, yes, technically it would think that I'm going to turn right out of my gate, because what's the point in going left across the road then turning in the opposite direction?
Okay, two things here. First, what GPS receiver do you have? I want to verify that first.
It's the Holux GP Slim 236.
Okay, that's kind of interesting. What I would like you to do is create a replay while you're walking, Carol, and send it to Sendero. Either send it to myself or Chris. I just want to look at your replay file to make sure. Well, actually, you might be able to tell me without even doing that. With 4.0, when you're walking, have you done S for speed? And what values does it give you?
I can't do that without creating a replay file, because I've got a long cane in one hand, and because of my back problem, I have to be very careful I don't stumble, and therefore I automatically slow down as I go to give a command to the PK.
Right, that's fine. I just want to make sure that you're getting speeds like if you issue a command for a speed, that it would give you something like, or if you had multiple repeat speed on, it'll give you your speeds of like 1.2 miles an hour or 1.8 miles an hour. Is it giving you things like that, or is it just saying not moving when you're walking slow, or that's what I'm trying to get at?
This is the problem. The problem is that in this first part of the route, I'm only walking, say, 12-15 paces before I hit my first side road to cross. So there's no way I can get up very much of a speed before I cross it. And then I have to locate this second crossing on my right-hand side. So again, I'm not walking at a speed I would walk at if I were just walking along the road for some distance before I had to make a turning.
Okay. The system should be able to, as long as you're going above 0.5 miles an hour, it will start averaging your heading, and but it takes like 10 to 15 seconds before, you know, as you're walking at that speed, before it'll get you a direction of travel, and it might even take 20 or 30 seconds. So obviously you're getting to that point beforehand. So I don't think we're going to be able to, my suggestion is, what I would do is create user points of interest at those places along, you know, at the Pelican Crossing and on the other side and the other street, and have those as sort of intermediate places that you're trying to get to, and then always start your routes once you get to the main spot on the other side of the street, so that you know, you don't create the route from your home. And what I would do is just virtually go there before you leave your house and create the route from there, or just wait until you're there and then just hit, you know, RP, which wouldn't be too bad. So basically get to where your starting point would be and then do an RP right there, and it'll create the route. That's probably your best bet, because otherwise what you would do is it would tell you to turn right out of your driveway, and then you'd be turning left and going to the crossing and all that stuff, and it might say, you know, turn around or off route or something like that. That's probably my only suggestions at this point.
That's what I'm tending to do from this point. I've worked this week and decided that's what I'm going to have to do. It's just that it's so messy at the beginning. It seems to take I have to be walking on the other side of the street, almost having gone past my house on the other side, on the opposite side, before it really knows which direction I'm traveling in.
Yeah, newer receivers might be able to help on that a little bit, but because of the way that I'm averaging things, it's gonna, you know, you'll be just getting the correct heading, and then you change directions on it, and then since you're walking so slow, it will want another 15 seconds in that new direction of travel, but you're just crossing a street, and then you have to turn again, you know. So every time it's about to say, okay, I got your new heading, you're like, okay, now I'm going to go the other way, which then it throws out all that other stuff, because it's like, well, you're no longer going this way, and it has to re-average everything. So that's what's going on here. So I don't see an immediate solution for this, unfortunately. I think you just need to know that that's, in your specific case, that's a limitation because of GPS, and at low speeds, GPS heading information is just not that reliable, and therefore it takes us some time to get your true heading. We don't want to give you an incorrect heading, and that's why we're trying to average. That was happening in 3.5, that we were giving more incorrect headings. But now we're averaging, and we're doing some new tricks to get better. So when we do give you your heading, it's very accurate.
That's the conclusion I thought you would draw. Just finally then, is it necessary or is it helpful to me then to record the pelican as a poi at both sides of the road, both when I cross from my home to the other side and again when I cross back? Because although the two crossing buttons are almost opposite each other, they're not absolutely, and I'm not sure whether it won't be picked up if I don't record both of them.
As long as the street's wide enough that it's you know, that you can actually distinguish between one and the other, I would say, yeah, record both of them and just make sure that you record, you know, north side of street, crossing button, south side of the street, or whatever it happens to be, put both of them in, and then also try to get the best accuracy before recording it. Look at your The G and tells you the number of feet accuracy it is, and try to get those as good as you can, and then record it, and then walk to the other one, and then record the other one, and then while at one, see where the other one is, and see if it sounds about right to where what you think is true.
Okay, fine.
Very good questions, though, Carol. I'm impressed.
Thing of the accuracy though, and in terms of like the other day, I was doing a route. I'd got the route open. I'd got a poi recorded at my destination, but I'd also got a destination set because I'd got that route set. And I wasn't managing to notice the point of interest before actually arriving at the destination. Before I knew I'd arrived at the destination. In other words, the GPS wasn't telling me that I'd got there. And that rather confused me.
Were you following a route, and you believed you were already there, but nothing triggered as far as arrived at destination or arrived near your point of interest? Is that what's happened?
Actually was there. I confirmed with a passerby that I was where I thought I was. I was at the destination, but I hadn't really received notice that I'd got there. I didn't realise from the GPS that I was there, and I did hope that I'd have got some kind of confirmation that there was my destination and I was just about on it.
That's interesting. At that point, when you confirmed with a passerby, what I would do at that point is press D for destination and find out how far away the system thinks you are from the destination. And if the destination's really that far away, you may want to record a new point of interest because it could have been a bad day when you recorded, or the accuracy wasn't that good when you recorded the first point of interest. And if you're doing it by address, it is interpolating the address ranges on a street, so that could cause error, and then there's the map error on top of everything else, and then you have GPS error. So there's a lot of error that goes into account here. And so, if you find that your point of interest that you created before is not that accurate, delete it, get rid of it, create a new one. Or if it's a commercial one, add your own user point of interest at the door, and that's usually a lot more accurate when especially if you get a WAS or a around less than 15 feet, 10 feet or whatever, like 3 or 4 meters accuracy. That's my suggestion on that, because it should say arrive near destination, for sure. So my suggestion is when something like that happens, press D for destination, find out how far away it thinks you are from it, and then if that's really, out to lunch, create a new point of interest for yourself. So you guys have had a couple weeks now to play with 4.0. What's your thoughts?
Question. Well, first of all, can anyone hear me?
Definitely can hear you, and yeah, fire away.
What's the reason for the thumb keys not working anymore? They can't navigate a list like when you get a street list or a city list or something. And the next key, if I'm saying that right, is the one all the way to the right. I'm using a BT, by the way. The one all the way to the right used to act as an enter key to select things instead of going back up and hitting enter if you're just navigating all by thumb keys. And none of the keys work anymore. You have space and enter, or space dot four and enter and all that. Is that a little fix that you guys have worked out? Or is that intentional?
No, that is not intentional. I think just no one found it during beta. Actually, I just was reading my emails, and one of the beta testers commented on it just today, saying the thumb keys no longer work in lists and stuff. And I went, "Oh, okay. Well, that looks like that's broken." So unfortunate. Unfortunately, it won't. It won't be able to be fixed in. Obviously, for this version, so we'll make note of it and fix it in the next go round. Things like this happen, and there's a few bugs in the system that we just realized even after the patch. So it's kind of unfortunate that these didn't be found weren't found sooner. But that's what happens when software comes out. You have 15 testers, and still mistakes are made. So I apologize for that.
I just wonder if that's something that could be fixed in a patch, because I mean, for me anyway, one-handed operation is a big way to use it because I've got the cane in the other hand or something else. So I don't know if it's cost effective or whatever. I know nothing about business like that, but it seems like that'd be something that would be really good to just release in a little patch, just a fix for those thumb keys. Because it seems like, you know, a lot of the people would use that for a lot of things, especially when walking.
Well, you could still do a one-handed operation pressing the space bar with dot 4. So, you know, that is still a one-handed operation. It's not as easy as hitting a thumb key. You know, I don't think Mike will authorize a patch for just that, unfortunately.
Yeah, I keep thinking, because I've got mine set to 8-dot computer braille, so for enter and everything, I have to hold down space with it. I guess that's the thing for me. I know I'm probably alone in that as far as any RailNote user goes, because I'm just strange like that. But the enter using the next key was a lot easier than having to hit space with enter to get the enter, space dot 4, all that. But small price to pay. I'm going to take a walk with it after this chat to see how well it goes. I just got the maps and everything. Hopefully a lot of the root things will be fixed. I had a lot of problems last. When 3.5 came out, it would tell me all these strange things, and the roots were messed up, and it would mirror image things. So I'm really hoping all that's fixed, and I can't wait to try it out.
Well, thanks, Alex. Yeah, I remember I just got you hooked up with the maps. Sorry about that. Glad you sent the email, and glad I was able to resolve your issue. Yeah, it's unfortunate that, you know, and we'll definitely, Chris will add a new track item, and specifically we'll mention in there 8-dot computer braille so that we test that in the next go-around so that that issue will be fixed. And for your roots issue, we spent a good month or two on roots fixing it and making sure that what we tell you is accurate, both in GPS and in virtual mode and in exploring the route. And we tried to make both the GPS exploration of a route as well as the virtual exploration of a route synonymous with each other so that they're identical, same keys. So you just learn it once and you can be in GPS exploring it or virtual. So it really doesn't matter what mode you're in, really. And as far as telling you the turns, we made that a lot more accurate than ever before. And the destination on the left or on the right, we made that a lot more accurate than before. So I think you'll see a huge improvement in the quality of the routes being generated, not only just in our explanation, what we say to you as far as the routes go, but we also have that brand new map engine and new routing algorithm underneath the whole system, and that creates actually more optimized, better routes for pedestrians. And people are saying to us that it's even beating some of the commercial products out there in the market, especially for pedestrian created routes, that nothing can really touch the ours right now. So we're very proud of that, and so I think you'll really enjoy it.
And despite any frustrations I might be having, I'm certainly enjoying it.
Control applications. Well,
Charles, you asked a short while ago what we think about it after the last couple of weeks. I see a big difference. I like it. I enjoy it. It worked great. I use the replay. I found out, okay, I'm still trying to get used to it, so replay, we're only going to announce what you have, you hit MM twice, you turn all manual routes off, then you hit M, then, and K for waypoint, you hit M for destination to read, M, X for intersection, and stuff like that, and C for, M and C for city to turn on or turn off, toggle on and off. So that's when the replay, when you have all those on, is when the replay will recognize it. But I love that feature. Real time, it take every inch you travel, or you guys want to say in the UK, every meter you travel, it's record everything, how fast you're going, what's hitting you're going, what intersection. You could pause it and get points of interest for that particular area and look up what's in that area. And that's going to be very beneficial for a lot of reasons, especially for the taxi cabs that want to take a run for your money.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry. We're pretty pleased with it, and definitely excited to listen to the users list. A lot of people are still trying to, get in there, get their maps up, and then with the patch, get the patch installed and stuff. But we're really happy with how everything is turning out, and we wish we didn't have to worry about, small issues that come up after all of this months of testing and stuff, and then find out, oh, we forgot that, or, oh, no, that doesn't work the way we wanted it. It's definitely disheartening, and only in severe cases where it really, causes an exception or just really bad information will we come out with a patch. We're hoping that we may be able to come out with a new release sooner than than a year. So that's what we'll have to see how that goes. But we're going to try to refocus our engineering effort and maybe try to come up with a new release sooner rather than later.
Speaking of new versions and stuff, how do you become a beta tester? Or do you guys even take new ones?
We do take new ones occasionally. You basically submit a request to Sendero, either Mike or myself or someone at Sendero, and we'll get it to the right people. We mix it up sometimes because and we'll look at the amount of participation that was in the last beta testing and see who basically brought up issues, who didn't, who wasn't pulling their weight, and if we feel that we need more testing in a certain map or a certain area, then we may look for new people. But we had around a dozen or so testers, and there was a tester from the UK, there was a tester in Canada, and then the rest were all in the US. That was a pretty good cross section there, and the Canadian and the guy from UK, just amazing. Like they found over 50% of the bugs was from them. It was and another third was from this other youngster in not even 17 years old in the US. He's just amazing. So we need good people like that. That was willing to, to work, to try each beta out, install them, and then pound the crap out of them, and try different weird things like going to .8 Braille and, making your system into trying in different grades and different things and stuff that we don't normally try. So, but make a case for yourself and submit it. But
so there's no specific form, as far as that goes. I just send it to someone from Sendero, there we go. Someone from Sendero, and that's pretty much it, and then I'll just hear back if you guys want me or not if you don't.
Yeah, say some things that why you would like to be a beta tester. What do you think that maybe some beta, maybe some ideas that you have to make the product better? Things like that will definitely help, but we don't have a form per se. It's more of word of mouth, people that are active on our users list, that we tend to try to take people that are active in the community and also maybe have something that we need tested specifically, like maybe a specific area of the country that we don't have any testers in, stuff like that.
Is there any way of combining two routes where you've got one route set and you're actually going to pass that place and then you want to go on from there? I mean, what's the easiest way? Is it really easiest to just make another route out of it?
The easiest would be to, yeah, make another route. But we are thinking in the future of being able to do stuff like what you're saying. So keep your ears on. That's definitely something we're thinking about in moving forward. So yeah, you're right on there. You want a beta testing spot there, Carol?
Maybe. I'll just see how my walking abilities go.
Yeah, no worries, no worries. Yeah, that's great. You're definitely thinking the way along the same lines as we are right now. Well, gang, I got some company here. I need to shoot off, but you guys take care. It's been a great chat session, and definitely stick around. Chris is still here, and it's been fun.
Sure, real quick. What I wanted to ask you, what's coming out in the future for inside building navigation?
I'm currently working with the company. We have a phase two grant for talking lights. We demonstrated it at CSUN a couple years ago, and I'm currently working on that section of the code right now, actually, that deals with indoor navigation and lights, fluorescent light bulbs that you have a receiver connected to the Braille note that detects the lights. You have a database of these lights on your Braille note, and once you walk underneath the light, it will reset your lat lon, and then you'll be right underneath where that light is, both physically and where the GPS thinks you are, and then you can query around where other points of interest inside the building are in relation to yourself. So that's currently what we're working on. Yeah.
That's really cool. I never thought of something like that. It's really exciting.
Thank you, Charles. Go to your guests. See you next week.
Cheers and thanks, and I must go too. Forgive me, folks, I'm falling asleep here. Not that you're not interesting to listen to and all that, but it's way, way past my bedtime, and my medication makes me sleepy anyway, so now I must give in to it and go. Bye for now.
Thanks for coming, Carol. And we may want to try to do a different chat session for our UK friends so that it's not so late. So if you can maybe post something on the users list saying when would be a great time, and maybe a few other people from the UK, you can get together and say, yeah, we would love to have a chat session at such and such a time so it's more beneficial to for you guys. We're definitely willing to entertain that idea as well. Anyway, everyone, you all take care and have a great week.
Cheers. Bye now.
Chris, this is Jaina again, and I did have one other question.
Okay, you faded out again, towards the end.
About user points of interest, and I'm wondering about the best way to create user points of interest in an environment. I work at a college, and
okay, I think I got some of that. Again, you did fade out. You start out very clear, and then for whatever reason, you just drop off, and we can barely hear you. I think I understand though. One of the best ways to make a user point of interest and would be to be at the position where you want the point created. So if you want it next to a tree, be near the tree. If you want it near the entry to a building, be near the entry to the building. And when you're recording that user point of interest, if you walked up to the entry or the tree, for example, you would stop for, say, 10 seconds and let the GPS catch up to you, because it might be actually behind you. So let the GPS catch up to you and then check your acquisition by hitting G and see what your foot accuracy is. The smaller the foot accuracy, meaning if it's 30 foot or 20 foot or 15 feet, the better recording you'll get out of that point of interest when you hit that space dot 3 for the BT or the read with R for the QT. And you'll want to also make sure that they are at least between 50 and 100 feet apart so that they're not stepping on each other.
I'm going to get out of here. Good night, Chris. Good night. Good night, folks.
Have a good one, Jerry.
My question was more about how to give it a good name that will identify if you're at an intersection where there are lots of different paths and there are many sidewalks that go to the same building and that sort of thing, if you have any thoughts about that.
Yes. What you could do is create, check the heading and say north, you know, this street runs north and another street runs south and another street runs southeast in this junction so that you can give it that name. You can also put it in the description field so you're not getting all that information unless you actually request it with the detailed POI command.
Well, thank you.
Hi, Chris. Tom Jones here out of Chicago.
Hello, Tom.
How's this thing doing? Is my gain real low? Seems like everybody's low, and then when I have...
Tom Longan has entered the room.
Yes, you can see that that's much louder.
Coming in just fine.
One question I have is I took the unit out. I installed everybody Friday, and I got a chance to play with the unit out here in an urban environment in Chicago. And I don't know if anybody else is experiencing this, but... we seem to be experiencing a difference in the maps and poise in that it doesn't seem to know exactly where I am as well as the other engine did. Is anybody experiencing that, and is there a problem with that yet so far?
By it doesn't know where you are, can you explain a little clearer on that? Because I'm confused.
Sorry about that. Okay. In describing this, I guess the best way I could put it is that if I'm walking down, say, Madison Street in Chicago, it thinks I'm about a block north, and it thinks something that it lists as a current point that I should be closest to. It thinks there's a 40 to 50 foot accuracy, but in reality, I'm about a block away.
Okay, what happens when you hit G for your GPS fix? What kind of feedback do you get?
That's what I mean. It says about 50, 60, depends on where I'm at, but generally 50 to 60 foot accuracy is reported. However, the actual position that it thinks I'm at is about 700 feet away. Now, in its defense, I need to explain that I'm in Chicago where the urban life is tall buildings, so there are some tall buildings, but when I get a report of one thing and an actual reality of another, that was why I asked if anybody experienced that before. Because when I had GPS 3.5, the accuracy report was more commensurate with the actual report of what it thought I was near.
And did you get the same accuracy when you hit the G command when you're under 3.5 to 4.0?
No, it was much more accurate there.
Okay, when you do a Q, take note of the H-dop and the V-dop values.
Okay, sounds good. If I wanted to test this, I did also put in another receiver. I got the Helix just Friday, and I got the software installed for it. Everything is fine. I mean, it's with the 4.0. If I were to try and revert to 3.5 just for test purposes to see... Obviously, I'd have to switch everybody back the actual program and the maps and poise and stuff like that. Is that worth the effort?
Only you can make that judgment call. What you can do, too, is you can, under 3.5, the ability to create a replay was there. It was kind of hidden. And the command was space with Q on the BT and control Q on the QT. You couldn't play it back, but what you could do is create a replay under 3.5 and then install 4.0 and play that replay back and see if you're getting the same results. Now, having said this, when I did it, I went with 3.5. I did a replay on 3.5 and had the heading results weren't as good, and I took that replay that I recorded under 3.5, played it back under 4.0, and the headings were just a night and day difference on the headings. So that might be something you'd want to try.
Yeah, because I was quite surprised when I was outside, and I was getting like Very good accuracy reports as far as 30, 40, 60 feet, and yet poise and actual current address, if I hit an A for an address, it thought it was a considerable distance from where I really was, even though the report came back as 40, 60 feet, something like that.
Okay, where is your receiver when you're carrying it? Is it up on the shoulder, or is it in your pocket, or where is the receiver?
Okay, receiver's up on my shoulder. I usually position it so that it's looking up directly at the sky as best I can, except for my neck, which creates a problem. But it really does look pretty much right up at the sky.
Okay, the top bump looks up towards the sky where the, if you feel the top where the battery component, where the battery comes apart, the backing, is that facing up or what's actually facing up?
Okay, I have it inside its little case with the feet down towards the clip. The clip is hooked to the strap on top of the shoulder, and the top side of the receiver is looking up.
Okay, that makes sense.
What I could do, if you think that this is a possibility, I didn't put in the patch because when I was talking to Sheila the other day, she thought she sent me something that, and I thought I got something that was newer than the 23rd. Would it hurt to install the patch and then try it again, or is that a patch-related issue?
It wouldn't hurt to install the patch, no.
I may do that. I didn't know if that was one of the reasons the patch was there, if this was one of the issues solved by the patch or not, but I just thought I'd throw that out there just for a hell of it.
But if you have access to another receiver and you wanted to try another receiver, you can do that as well.
Yeah. That is a thought. I could go back to the Raltech 1000 or the good old Earthmate Blue Lugger. Is it on? Is it off? Is it on? Is it off? Who knows for sure?
I have one of those sitting on my desk.
Sorry, my sense of humor bit me again. Sorry. Thanks for the suggestion, Chris. I'm going to try those and see what I can find, and we'll go from there.
Sounds good. Eileen, we haven't heard from you all night.
Well, I don't have much to say because my M-Power is in California and I haven't yet received 4.0, so I'm just kind of an observer at this point.
Makes sense.
Hey, Chris, this is Tom here, back in L.A. Just came in a few minutes ago, and so obviously I'm way late. And I probably, you know, missed a considerable amount of discussion. And I'm particularly curious about what that patch was for. I saw something on the list about it, but I don't remember seeing any particulars about what that patch was supposed to do.
Basically what it did is it fixed a memory leak, a potential crash, and in the beginning of a route, your angle might be askew when creating a route kind of off the beaten path. It might tell you to turn behind and right instead of right. So those were the main issues that were fixed by the patch.
What was that potential crash that you spoke of? I did manage to crash it the first time out. In this particular instance, I had created a route because I was going from, you know, my place to a client's location out in L.A. somewhere. And what happened was I exited GPS and I opted not to save the route. And when I said no to the prompt regarding, you know, whether I wanted to save it or not, that's I got an exception command. I think the number was 301, but I'm not sure. So I was just curious if that was the crash you were talking about.
No, that wasn't the crash, and that's new. I've never seen that one. Not exactly sure, to be honest with you, what crash or the possibility of the crash entailed, so I can't even speculate at this point.
Okay, well, what I'll do is when I'm traveling around tomorrow, I'll try to see if I can reproduce that problem, and if I can, I'll contact, you know, somebody over in tech support and let them know what's up.
Sounds good.
All in all, I'd have to say, you know, my experiences so far have been very positive. I like the you know, the route creation seems to be quicker. It seems to save routes faster. I like the way, you know, the Bluetooth is working with it. It seems to be a bit more stable. I don't know if that's, you know, illusory or whether that's for real, but at any rate, it seems to be working better. And you know, I like the new maps in Poison, at least, you know, so far of what I've seen with the Poison. And all in all, it's been working fine, except for that one incident. So
sounds good, and that might just be one of those one-time things that happens and will never happen again with computers, you know.
Yeah, it is Windows after all.
Well, this session will also be archived in the next, it'll be up on the site in the next couple days.
That's cool. Of course, I didn't get into it because I was out wandering around at the time you guys were doing the chat, got back and realized, oh, shit, missed something.
Yeah, I think we have them back all the way up until February when we started archiving them.
Wonderful. Since I'm retired, I have lots of time to go look at those.
There's actually two links. There's a streaming link, and then there's a download link. So if you want to download it, you can download them. If you want to stream them, you can stream them.
Thank you much.
Well, I think I'm going to call it a night if there's no other questions.
Cool. Okay. We'll catch you later. Take care, Chris.
Okay, I do have a question for you, Chris. Wait to see if anybody else. Okay. I just finished loading the 4.0. Now, I put 4 California map in there. Shouldn't it already take the California map?
Are they in the maps folder, and did you get rid of 3.5 maps?
I deleted everything in the flash card and went clean and put the 4.0 in and the California.
Okay, do you have California in the maps folder, or where is California, or is it just dumped somewhere?
California was in my flash card, I think. Yeah.
Is it in the maps folder?
Map folder? I didn't go to the map folder yet.
Okay, you'll have to unzip all 4 of the California zip files into the maps folder.
What I did is it put it on the hard, I downloaded it from the site and then put the reader in the flash card and put it in the flash card.
Right, but did you unzip them or did you copy them? Did you just do a straight copy? Because if you did a straight copy, you copied the actual zip files onto the compact flash card. So in that case, you will need to actually unzip those files into the and put them in the maps folder.
I'm in the maps folder. Okay, thanks. I think I got it.
If you have any questions, give me a call tomorrow.
Hey, does the folder where you put the maps actually have to be called maps, or if I travel to different parts of the country and I have, you know, one folder for California and then I have one for the Midwest and then I have one for North Carolina where my sisters live, could I have folders for each of those and just, you know, go into GPS options and say, okay, for now I'm using a folder called California and that's where my maps are. And then if I go to the Midwest, say I could load the Midwest, you know, tell it to look at the Midwest folder and then, you know, North Carolina folder and so on.
You are absolutely correct. It doesn't have to be maps. You can point the folder to, you know, go to GPS options, go to map and POI folder and point that folder to California or to Midwest or whatever. It doesn't necessarily have to be called maps. The system searches when you open the GPS application, if a map location is not defined, it searches your compact flash card, your SD card, and your PC card for a folder called maps.
Okay, well, good. Yeah, that way I wouldn't have to, you know, juggle a bunch of files around. You know, okay, well, I'm not using the California maps today. I'm going to throw everything, say the Midwest files in the maps folder and so on. I could just point it to a different folder.
Right. The 8 gig configuration that we have the West, the East, and the offshore, and then we also put the user's home state in the maps folder so that they're not loading 32 maps or 30 maps every time they start the program, but they can point to the West folder or the East folder if that's the side that they want to work with, or the offshore. Okay, well, I guess I'm going to call it a night and see everybody next week.
Have a good week, everybody.
You too.